Please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
What's up, everyone? Happy hump day. Welcome to the Wednesday hump day edition of Truth Lie Shenanigans. It's your girl, Liz E. tonight, and I will be filling in for our boy, Neonix, who is working with us tonight behind the scenes as he gets some rest after having his second COVID vaccination shot this week. So hopefully, Neo, you are feeling fine, maybe sipping some wine, probably not, but you know, sip some. Need some. Sip some if you need some, brother. So we've got a lot of shenanigans to sift through this evening. We're going to start off in hot topics with our boy, Robbie Rock. He's going to take us up to Minnesota and give us the latest information and perspective after the police shooting of Dante Wright by Minnesota police officer Kim Potter. Then we're going to shift over to Gianni Storm, who is going to give us the latest on one of America's most vapid and exhausting couples, Kim and Kanye. And then I am going to get everyone's perspective on rapper Kid Cudi, who got some positive and some negative reactions this week for his SNL performance last Saturday, in which he wore a dress. So a lot of points to ponder this evening. So sit back and get ready for all of the shenanigans. But before we get into our show tonight, I want to introduce our host. In addition to myself, I have a lovely panel this evening, but I'm going to switch it up a little bit. Tonight, I'm going to start with the ladies. It's ladies night, y'all. It's ladies night. Ooh. So first up, our young lady, our miss, our student from Clark Atlanta, our model, our actress, Miss Gianni Storm. Gianni, are you still in Jupiter?
Yes. Hey guys, it's Gianni from Jupiter. So I've been doing good. I've been doing really good. I've just been chilling. I feel like I've been enjoying the weather. Things have been going really busy for me as far as school and work. I've been trying to figure it out. And good news is my family's actually visiting me this weekend. So my aunt and my cousin.
Very nice.
Yeah. Amazing. Right. That's awesome.
I'll take pics and send it to you guys.
In addition to being one of our co-hosts here, Gianni is also the co-host of TLS Unscripted on Instagram. So Gianni, tell the folks where they can see you and Miss Olivia E. on Instagram.
You can see me and the beautiful Olivia E. on Instagram Fridays at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard.
All right. So make sure you tune in this Friday to see our weekend warriors. Next up, sitting in for me, as I sit in for Neo, is our Twitter guru, also from Sudbury, Ontario, Miss Jose. How you doing, Jose?
I am doing very well. Good evening, everyone. I am so looking forward to this show because I'm not going to lie, the back and forth between all of us this, like the past few days, let's say the past 48 hours has been intense. So I'm looking forward to our discussion. So, and also, I am wearing pink today because it is International Day of Pink. It's a day of action for communities across the world to remain united in celebrating equity.
All right. Well, great to have you back, Jose.
Thank you very much for having me.
We have our rock star and Jose's partner in crime from the rock band Fallen Machine, also out of Sudbury, Ontario. We have Mr. Rob E. Rock.
Love the intro. That's awesome.
I know.
So I do want to address one online question right away. So to share, I am wearing a pink shirt also because of the International Pink Shirt Day, and it's just to raise awareness, and it's also an anti-bullying thing, and it's a show of support for my boy Kid Cudi because it is a feminine cut, but who cares? It's a garment.
Yeah. How does it feel?
Nice.
I'm not used to showing this much armpit. I think it's a cotton polyester blend.
Okay.
Polyester.
It's very light, breezy. You can tuck it in, wear it out. Very versatile.
You can see my naughty bits through it.
Jose is funny.
Easy breezy, I love Bobby it. Rock. Well, me on this side here in Washington, D.C., again, I had a very hectic week. We are winding down towards the end of the school year, end of the semester at Howard University. So as usual, I have like 1,000 papers to grade, but I also have some other projects that are going on. So I've been like, my foot has been on the pedal, gotten very little sleep. So hopefully you guys will, you know, make me laugh this evening, make me laugh this evening.
We will.
So I won't be
stressed.
Try. About everything else. So now that you've gotten to know our panel of hosts tonight a little bit, let's get into our quick fire question. All right, quick fire coming at you. So this week, conservative pastor Rick Wiles took aim at our very own Dr. Anthony Fauci in a recent episode of his True News program, saying that the prominent public health official should be waterboarded because he believes that Fauci worked directly with China to create the coronavirus pandemic. Wiles called Fauci a liar, saying, and I quote, "You know what you did, Fauci. You worked with the Chinese Communist Party for years, and you used our own taxpayer money to work on it, to work on the coronavirus bats. And you did it behind our backs, deceiving the American people, and you participated in the creation of this virus. And for that, you should be waterboarded." So, question to the panel, to our viewing audience. Again, this guy is a pastor. So the question is, did God's message change for the people during Corona, during the coronavirus? What you got to say, Robbie? What you got to say, Robbie?
Well, the only waterboarding that I'm aware of in the Bible is the Great Flood.
Good one. I would say apparently to the conservative extremists, yes, God's word changes.
Okay. And Miss Jose?
Men never do evil so completely and cheerfully as when they do it from religious convictions. Blaise Pascal. I thought that was appropriate.
Very appropriate.
Nice.
My question would be is, and you know, this is a slogan that a lot of Americans have here. What would Jesus do, Pastor Wilde? Jesus do? Would Jesus be out there? Jesus, who was nailed to the cross, would he be out there wooing people? I don't know about that. But overall, guys, what do you think about this incessant harassment or belittling of Dr. Fauci?
I think I know where Rick Wiles is coming from, because with the COVID restrictions, I've seen this happening internationally. Religious leaders are pissed because their flocks are being kept away from their houses of worship, and that affects the bottom line. That really affects the bottom line. You want to piss somebody off, mess with their paycheck. So it's an absolute attack on Fauci to discredit him, to remove him from a very lucrative revenue stream. I'm sure that Mr. Wiles is doing just fine, but you're right, Liz. I mean, WWJD, turn the other cheek. You'd love them. Maybe turn the waterboarding water into wine, have a party. You know, I think you'd be more down with that.
I feel like because Dr. Fauci, if I'm pronouncing it right, is the face, not the face of the pandemic, but he's kind of been leading it in the U.S. anyway. So I think because he is the target, I think a lot of people who don't believe in the coronavirus being a real thing kind of associate that to him. And I don't believe him and Trump had the best relationship. So, like, yeah, those type of people would also hate on him hard. Makes sense.
Trump had no relationship with anyone that did not agree with him. The minute someone had their own ideas, Trump just shit-canned that. But like Mike Winter has commented, saying Fauci should sue him for defamation, hit him in the pocket. And you know what? That's a really good point. It's like, come on, you know, because this guy has his own show. Rick Wiles has his own show. You should see this website, okay, that I saw. I mean, this is a very prominent person. So yeah, I mean, defamation, absolutely. I have nothing but respect for Fauci and for what he's done. And shame, 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 shame. That's not our Jeebus.
I never, and again, as someone who grew up in the church, even though, you know, I am a non-believer, I still try to be very respectful to people. I'm definitely not advocating torture. And this is coming from an atheist. Okay. I'm definitely not advocating torture. I'm definitely not advocating that we waterboard someone. I'm definitely not running around with a bunch of conspiracy theories simply because someone else disagrees with me, or simply because someone else believes in science. Like, again, as all of you have mentioned, Dr. Fauci has done his best to keep us above board as it relates to the coronavirus, as it relates to COVID-19, giving out information. And he's done a good job, I think, of stepping back when that information has been kind of iffy. And he'll say, okay, I'll come back later. And so for people to have such a visceral reaction to a doctor who's out here trying to save lives, I just have to keep asking, like, where is the Christianity in that?
And where was the outrage when Fauci was involved in helping curb the HIV epidemic in the 80s? Where was the outrage when he was working against SARS? Okay, well, there was none, because he was doing his job effectively, just like he was doing or trying to do his job effectively this time around. But the leader of the free world at the time was just sticking the stick in his spokes.
I'm going to go out on a limb, though, Rob, and say that probably, you know, when he was working, doing, you know, the working for AIDS research, working to try to figure out what was going on with AIDS and HIV, that if we had social media back then, there would have been a backlash because these
there would have,
you know, the conservative, right? These are people who wanted to burn gay people, wanted to burn homosexuals, wanted to burn people who were HIV positive at the stake. They thought that they were evil. They thought that they were devils. They thought that they were the sign. That AIDS was kind of like a scarlet letter, that it was the sign of Satan. And so for him to advocate in their favor and try to help these people and try to find a cure, I think it would have been the same reaction back then if we had social media and this 24-hour news cycle where they had a platform, if you will. But it just makes you wonder, like, again, like we said, you know, like Rob posed with the, like we posed with the quickfire question, you know, did God's intent, did God's message change? And what would Jesus say about all of this hate and vitriol at a doctor who is seemingly trying to help people? Think of whom, like old Arsenio Hall, things that make you go,
Yes.
All right, so we're going to move out of the quick fire and get into the show. But before we get into the show, let me tell the people who we are and what we are about. So if you've never joined us, we at the TLS show, we invite our guests and our co-hosts to come to the table with their opinions. We offer you our opinions. We tell you our take on our opinions. We give you an opportunity to give us your take on the opinions. And then at the end of the day, we say Lizzie was right all along. That's how it works here, okay?
Noted.
Exactly.
But we also, throughout the course of the night, we try to identify all the truths, work out all of, or call out all of the lies, whether they are little white lies, little black lies, or big fat orange lies like Donald Trump, all of that out on the table. And then we offer, point out some of the shenanigans. And at the very end, we poke fun at ourselves and expose some shenanigans of our own. So the show, throughout the hour that you're going to be with us, it's a fun time. It can be intense. It'll make you think a little bit, but it's a fun time. So we hope that you can sit back and join us for the next hour or so, okay? So with that in mind, we want to tell you all, if this is your first time and you're not familiar with us, or if you kind of forgot how you can find us, we are on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, all social media channels using at TLS Live Show or Truth Live Shenanigans. If you want to listen to us while you're driving, you're going to get some food late at night, or you're just driving down the highway, you can listen to us wherever you podcast, on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or by going to tlspod.com. So we're everywhere, people. There's no excuse for not finding us. No excuse for not coming to the show. All right. All right. So let's get started with our hot topics. The way hot topics works is one of the members of the panel, they've had something on their mind for the last 2 days, something that has resonated with them. They bring that issue to the table and we duke it out. We talk about it, we dissect it, and then we turn it over to the viewing audience and get your comments. Okay. So we're going to kick off hot topics with our boy, Robbie Rock. Robbie Rock.
Lies, shenanigans.
Yes. Unfortunately, we need to talk about this. Just another tragic shooting of a young black male in America. So on April 11th, Dante Demetrius Wright, a 20-year-old African-American man, was fatally shot by police officer Kim Potter during a traffic stop in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. After he was shot, he attempted to flee, but his vehicle crashed into a cement barrier and subsequently died of the gun injury. When the officers had run his name through the police database, they learned that he had an open arrest warrant stemming from pending charges for a robbery with a gun, and he had posted $100,000 bail. And this was the basis that they used when they attempted to arrest him. So Kim Potter, at the time during the altercation, who shot him, thought that she had unholstered her taser. We're going to have a short little video of this. Actually, if Neil, you're behind the scenes. So we have the officers trying to handcuff Mr. Wright to his vehicle. We apologize for the quality of the audio. So he breaks away from the handcuffs, and when they're trying to retrieve him, so we can hear Kim Potter shouting, "Taser, taser, taser." And then when she hears the gunshot, reacts immediately and says, "Oh shit, I shot him." So that's absolutely coming under fire because this is a police trainer who's been with the force for 26 years. So to have pulled out the wrong tool in the line of duty that results in the death of a citizen or a civilian is just, it's shameful. It's terrible. So I don't really have any questions. Since then, Kim Potter today was charged with second-degree manslaughter, and she has resigned from her post. Police Chief Tim Gannon also resigned from his post after he addressed the news feed and saying that this was an accidental discharge. So I'm looking to my co-host because I want to get impressions, I want to get feelings, and in light of, you know, we started talking about George Floyd about a year ago, where do we go from here? Because this is an ongoing issue. Let's start with Gianni Storm.
When I saw it, I think I saw it in like my Apple News app, and I got into it. I immediately felt numb, only because I feel like, of course, we've seen this before, but it's always interesting each case because it always brings about a new perspective, because it's like not only in this case. Was it heated? Like last week, we talked about how officers are often in fear, and that's what they're acting out of. But also, it was the officer. She was on the force for, I believe, up to, I think it was up to over 10 years. So it was like
26-year veteran.
She's
a 26-year veteran, and she also is a police trainer. So she is someone who trains other officers on the proper use of their equipment and how to perform a proper stop, proper arrests.
And that makes me feel like
training someone that day, like she was training someone in this incident. Oh. She was training was on scene That's for crazy. This. I could be wrong, but that was one of the reports that I about this. Gianni, I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say, I feel like this situation, like Rob was saying, where do we come from, like from George Floyd and to now? I feel like this situation calls and stresses the importance of like these high risk areas that have like corrupt police, you know, forces. I feel like we need to start changing them. We need to start integrating them. We need to start doing something. And I feel like this unfortunate example could be that spark, hopefully, so that we can stop doing this. We can stop repeating this. It's no words. Like, it's just like, okay, again, then we got to think of another way to like be like, oh, this is disgusting. It's more than disgusting. It's like numbing now. Like, you know, it is.
Jose? Yeah.
I don't know what to think. I'll be very honest with you because, you know, could it have been an accident? I'm looking at the taser and the gun that were, you know, believed to be used, and they are both very similar. However, I feel like when you get dressed in the morning, you know that on your right side, you have your gun, and on your left side, you have your taser. At the end of the day, these cops are here to try to protect us, and it's not been happening. So when are we going to start training them properly to you know, I'm at a loss. I'm at a loss because at one point I'm thinking, okay, you know what? Maybe it was an accident. Maybe, you know, it was just heat of the moment. And then I read something today online saying that this wasn't the first time that Potter was dealing with an aftermath of a police shooting someone. Because back in 2019, there's police that fatally shot a man who was threatening his grandfather with a knife and hammer. The use of deadly force by police in that incident was ruled lawful, as per the reports. In accordance with Brooklyn Center Police Department policies, Potter, she was not present at that time, gave instructions to the two officers involved in the shooting to get into different police cars, turn off their body cams, and not speak to each other. Now, I'm sure that's probably policy and procedures if that happens, you know, but I'm having my doubts. There's just been too many of these accidental shootings. We need to do something. These cops, they need to get the help for mental health as well, because you know that they're afraid right now. You know that, I just read again today, a police officer was shot, routine traffic stop. So yeah, they're scared.
Everyone's on edge.
Right? That's exactly it, Johnny. Everyone's on edge, and it's just senseless, absolutely senseless. Again, I just, I'm looking to, I want to know what the audience thinks. I'm looking for other people's perspectives too.
I just want to give, before we go to the audience, I just want to, you know, point out a couple of things that I noticed or took note of about this incident. First, if we go back to, are we able to, Neo, go back to the video? Okay. So if we're looking at the video here, the officer is trying to put handcuffs on Mr. Wright. He's seemingly not, he's not posing a threat. He's not resisting. So my question is, why did Officer Potter approach this officer and Mr. Wright to begin with? She's the one whose body camera is on. So we get this footage from her body camera. Initially, when this starts, she's standing behind, away from both the officer and both Mr. Wright. The officer is attempting to put handcuffs on Mr. Wright. He's not resisting yet. He may be talking. We can't really hear exactly what he's saying, even when the audio's up. But she comes and she puts her hands on him. So now he has two people on him. Mm-hmm. So now he's afraid. Now he's afraid. And then when she draws her weapon and she discharges it, she doesn't shoot immediately. Initially, she says, I'm going to taser you.
Three times.
And then there, but even before that, Jose, before she says taser, 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 she says, I'm going to taser you. Then there's a pause. Then she says, taser, taser, taser. From what we can see on the body cam, we could see her weapon. I can see that that weapon has no yellow on it whatsoever. I can see that that weapon that she has in her hand would not be identifiable to her as a taser. And so my question is how do we get to this place where you are the person who puts your weaponry on your body every day? And protocol suggests for Brooklyn Center that they put their service weapon on their dominant side. So if you're left-handed, your service weapon goes on your left hand. If your service weapon goes on your right hand, and then the taser goes on the opposite side. So did she make a mistake then in putting the taser on the wrong side? Did she make a mistake, or was she not paying attention when she drew her weapon and could, in my opinion, should have been able to visibly see that this was not a taser? And so I'm just like, I don't, for like Rob said, she's been on the force for 26 years. She is training, she's training people. How does the trainer get it wrong? And then it results.
Do you feel like she did that as a cover up? Like she was just saying taser, taser, taser to kind of like, because she knows she was being watched via body cam. Do you think it was like a cover up to be like?
I honestly think that this was an adrenaline induced moment, because there's, if she, especially, I didn't realize this was a training moment too, that she had someone under her wing. So she's responsible for that person. That's a heightened sense of responsibility, anxiety, if you will.
And pressure, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I've never been in a situation like that, thankfully, and nor have I had a lethal and non-lethal option available to me that is very similar in styling. And I know that if it's an adrenaline moment where I need to react, I'm going to react with my dominant hand. And I recognize that this person has specialized training and should have reacted differently, but they did not. But once that weapon is drawn, if it feels the same way, and once it's drawn, you're not going to reholster and pull another one out. So I honestly think that she pulled out the wrong tool, and it happened so quickly. I don't know that she was fully aware of what she actually had in hand, but there was no reason. Like my cousin George put it up there, it's accident or not. Deadly force wasn't justified in these circumstances. No. He wasn't attempting to flee at the moment. He didn't pose a risk to the officers. And you're right, Liz, it's not until she puts her hands on him, when he now has two officers holding him, that's when he tries to flee. That's when he gets scared and bolts.
I have a question, even the procedure with the officer who is trying to handcuff. Like, is it normal procedure and protocol that you try to apprehend or handcuff someone in front of an open door where they have the ability to try to get in the car? Aren't you supposed to move
on the hood
closer to the, either in the front or to the back of the car where you are in complete control of the circumstance? But I agree with Robin. I don't think that she woke up or came to the scene of this crime intending to kill someone. However, her overwhelming negligence here, again, cost someone their life. It's just like the case in Texas a couple of years ago with the cop who went to her home, went to her apartment complex, but went to the wrong floor, the wrong apartment, burst in the door, shot the occupant. Oops, I'm sorry. I thought I was in my own apartment. Same thing here. Oops, I'm sorry. I thought I had my taser when I really had my Glock. Like, there's a complete disconnect here with the training of these officers. And it's causing the death, not only of citizens, but so far as we've seen, of Black citizens, of Black males. And so that's why I'm triggered.
My question now, seeing the video again, is that Once the car pulls away, you see there's not one, there's not two, but there's three cops. You see, you know, Kim Potter has her camera on. There's a cop across the way and there's one to her right. There were three cops. You mean to tell me that three cops could not apprehend without violent force, without a taser, a 20-year-old kid who's by himself? Like this to me. Yeah. There was already a cop taking care of trying to handcuff him, and she just comes in and grabs him as well. Yeah. Like, if you look at, so you know what? It's supposed to be a traffic stop. Okay. And I'm going to address a question here from Sherry, is that, you know, why did we use excessive force? You know, if it was just a routine traffic stop, there was a warrant for his arrest as well. Right. So, okay. So we're going to see what's going on, but you're three cops. Taser should have never have come out for this. That kid was scared and he tried to make a run for it. And then everyone lost their shit. And that's where it went. They didn't think. And that's like epic training fail.
And I think one of the key things you just said, Jose, was that he, you know, he was 20 years old and he was scared. We often hear police officers say the reason why they discharge them because they're in fear for their lives, right?
Yeah.
So that, if that's your excuse, why is it frowned upon if a potential suspect, someone who is being apprehended, don't they have the right to be scared too? Like, why is Absolutely. It always, you know, he shouldn't have resisted or whatever. This kid called his mom when they first pulled him over. He called his mother on the phone and was like, they're pulling me over. They're saying that I have a warrant or something like that. And there's been some question about exactly what the initial infraction mm-hmm. was, because initially I heard it was over him smoking weed when he was whatever, and he missed a court date. And then it came out that, okay, it could have been because of a gun charge and he missed a mm-hmm. court date. And then it was put out there, well, a lot of people are missing court dates or are not getting their summons to court because of COVID, because of the crisis with COVID. So there are a lot of variables here that at the end of the day, like Jose said, like Gianni and Rob said, that should not have resulted in a quick let me pull out any weapon. I mean, I would have preferred, quite honestly, if you're going to pull out a weapon, I would have preferred you pull out your baton.
I was just about to say that. Exactly. Because you know what? Those things hurt. You know? But at least the person is still alive.
But you're alive. Yeah. You can walk away from that. Now it's just shoot first, regardless. Regardless.
Mm-hmm. And whether or not it was an accident, think about it. I mean, it's not just one life that's lost. It's this kid's son. He has a son, his family. Now this cop that shot this kid as well, her life is ruined. Her family's life is ruined. You know what I mean? So it's just, I don't know, think before you act. Just take that 2 seconds. I did not see a threat from this kid. I mean, I didn't see at any point or time did I feel like he was pulling out a knife or a gun or anything like that. He was scared because not only was he being handcuffed, he had another person come up and grab him as well. Whoa, hold the bus, yeah. Gus. You know, enough. Mm-hmm. So I would have been scared too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, there's tons of, you know, other things that we can point to as a reason why he acted the way he did. But you are the police officers involved. You guys are the ones with the training. Like, it should never come to this. So I don't know how we get away from this, because like Gianni said, we were just talking about a similar situation. Thankfully, no one died. No one was shot. He was, but we were just talking about a similar situation that we discussed on Sunday's show from an incident where an Army lieutenant was pulled over.
Yes.
And expired tags. And he was tasered for no reason. This guy offered no resistance, was still in his car with his arms out inside of the car. Mm-hmm. And he still was tased, dragged out, beaten on the ground. So we got to do better. Hey, Gingy, what's up, girl? What's up, Gingy? So we got to do better.
One, yeah. One last point that I would like to make is that the kit that police officers are provided with needs to be different. Your lethal and non-lethal options should not both be in a pistol style, because while I'm not removing anybody's culpability, they're absolutely responsible. Former officer Potter is absolutely responsible for her actions. Mm-hmm. But if your brain is operating on adrenaline and on instinct, and you grab something that feels like your taser but is actually your gun, you're going to still use that tool.
So let's just keep this picture up for a second. Keep going, Rob. Keep talking.
Yeah. So I would really ask to, I know that Axon, the manufacturer of these tasers, has received some backlash and some pressure from the public to change the style of their product because of its resemblance to a gun. The yellow highly contrasted makes it look more like a phaser from Star Trek or whatever, but it's still a hilt with a trigger and that barrel style that you're just going to point and shoot. And this is one of the models that looks least like a gun. If you look at the Axon website, they look very similar to the Glock, which is just really scary. So I think that there needs to be some fundamental change in the kit to help prevent this stuff from happening in future instances.
And see, Go ahead, Jose.
Just thinking about this, and we know how the U.S. loves to sue people. So now I am wondering, are these companies that are producing these tasers, are they going to have heavy lawsuits? Are people going to start suing them because it resembles too much of a gun?
I would imagine that could be the case. Although if you look at past cases where people have been killed because a cop mistook their air rifle or their BB gun or their water gun, I don't think, from my recollection, I don't think any of those particular companies have been sued, but I would not be surprised. I would not mm-hmm. be surprised at least, but my thing is, and I've never held either of those two weapons, okay? So let's just put it out there. This is not my area of expertise at all. However, to me, those weapons, on the outside looking in, do not resemble one another the least little bit. And again, we're talking about trained officers. And according to information that, you know, we got about those two weapons, so the Glock was the weapon on the top, the taser was the weapon on the bottom, the Glock is black, the taser is yellow. According to the information that I read, for this particular police department, the Glock models that they use are 3 times as heavy as the tasers that they use. Okay. And so that goes back to my initial point where mm-hmm. I just, and maybe, you know, Rob is right. This was just a complete adrenaline rush, but so many things went wrong here. And if you are responsible for a weapon, it's your job to know the proper use of that weapon and be aware of your surroundings, if you will. And these police officers aren't doing that. It's just, let me go, ask questions later. Boom, boom, boom. Ask questions later. So, I mean, in this segment, we're just saying, you know, hopefully this will be the last story we hear like this, of this. I mean, obviously, I think that's wishful thinking, but hopefully this will be the last story we hear like this. Oh, everyone, please be careful. Please be careful out there. Because I think even coming out of the pandemic, a lot of people are just coming out of their houses for the first time. They're just driving around for the first time. And so any reservation they have had pre-pandemic have fallen by the wayside post-pandemic, and they're just happy to be outside. And then all of a sudden, they're confronted with a bunch of officers. So everyone, please be careful. Please be careful. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Rob B. Thank you for that, Rob B. And everyone, please, you know, pay attention, because this is an evolving story, ever-changing story. There'll be updates as we move along over the next couple of weeks, all right? So let's move on to our next topic. Miss Gianni Storm, what you got for us, my dear?
Okay, so I have some shenanigans. Kim and Kanye West's divorce. This will be a quick one, but this has been trending quite a bit. So since Kim and Kanye called divorce last month, or February, sorry, in February, Kim has been waiting for Kanye's answer to her petition. So Kanye just recently answered that petition and is basically saying the same thing that Kim wants. They both want to file joint custody for their four kids. So they also agreed to no spousal support and paying their own legal fees during the divorce. And of course, many have questioned if Kim would allow Kanye for joint physical custody of their kids due to Kanye's mental health issues in the past. Kanye has said that he suffered from bipolar episodes and he was even hospitalized last year. So despite this, Kim knows Kanye to be a great father to his kids and thus their agreement. My question to the panel is, should mental health be considered when determining child custody?
Okay, let's start with Rob B.
I think that in this instance, it's something to consider. If I were in Kim's shoes, I would want a court order or a custodial order that made it imperative that Kanye is taking his meds, because he has famously said that he is against taking medication for his bipolar disorder because it stifles his creativity. And I respect that as an artist. I mean, if that's your bread and butter and that's how you feel about it, great. But if you have a bipolar episode, when you have minors about you that require your care, if you don't have anyone from your entourage or anybody else to intervene, that can put your child at risk. So I think that would be definitely be one of the conditions or one of the stipulations that I would want documented in the court papers. I'm not going to say that all of these mental or psychological issues, emotional issues, these are definitely all contributing factors, because at the end of the day, you want a court order that is going to best take care of the child, the child's needs. This is who needs to come out the winner in any divorce hearing, the child. And I mean, your parents are breaking up. You're never going to be a winner in that situation. But at the end of the day, the courts have a responsibility to take care of the welfare of the child.
Okay.
Great.
At the end of the day, we need to do right by the kids. We have to be careful. I mean, when it comes to mental health, no offense, who doesn't have any mental issues these days? Like, honestly, you know what I mean? Like, about every other person has anxiety or is depressive or is bipolar, right? So like Robbie Rock was saying, is make sure there's a stipulation in the agreement that says that Kanye needs to have the proper counseling, mm-hmm. and Kim as well, and that both of them are mentally well. And the minute one of them starts to slip, well, I think it's time to reevaluate. At the end of the day, these kids are innocent. They didn't ask to be brought into this world, right? So they are innocent. They need to get to... They need the best of both worlds right now. So I hope for everyone's sake, it's amicable for as much as it is, because divorce is never fun. I'll speak on my own experience. Separation, divorce, all of that jazz, you know, is never fun, especially for the kids. We tend to forget about the kids. So that's what I think when it comes to, and really, shame on me, I didn't even know they were divorcing. So that's how in tune I am with Kim and Kanye.
That's good, actually, Jose. You don't need to bother yourself.
Who've been bombarded with this nonsense for what, a decade now? My goodness. Here's my take on this, and I agree with everything the panel has said. But I'm going to take it a bit further, a couple of notches on the other side, because I do reckon I'm no fan of Kanye. I'm no fan of Kim. Okay. So I come in as neutral as they come. But as much as I think, you know, Kanye's erratic behavior, his bout with or his issues with being bipolar and not really wanting to take his medication have been well documented, have been a part of pop culture over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
If I'm Kanye, honestly, if I'm Kanye, I'm putting some provisions as it relates to the children and their supervision. I'm putting some provisions in our divorce settlement as well. Namely, because remember, this is a family that is voyeurism first. All yes. Cameras on us first. Whatever expense, we are going to make money off of putting our children on TV, in pictures, on the cover of Playboy, all of that stuff. So if I'm Kanye, I'm putting provisions in up until they're 18, you will not have my children on any of your reality TV shows.
Oh yeah, that's
you will not have my children paraded out in front of the paparazzi. And you certainly will not have my particular leaders, because these young ladies have huge issues with body dysmorphia. Plastic surgery from the rooter to the scooter.
They are all plastic. It's all money. It's all materialistic.
Getting plastic surgery as a teenager. If you look at an old picture of Kylie and you look at a current picture of Kylie, it's like two different people. She's unrecognizable.
Hell yeah.
Yep. If I'm Kanye, no plastic surgery for my children until their 18th birthday. So that if Kim wants to come with, you know, I need to be monitored, which I think is legitimate. I think it's a legitimate concern on behalf of Kim as a mother. But Kanye, you know, you need to get with it. Before you see North today, your oldest child North today, she may look like South tomorrow. That plastic surgery.
Yes and no. I read an article saying that Kim is having a hard time with Mr. Kanye, because since Kanye has found religion, he's gotten more stricter. Apparently TVs are not in kids' rooms. The eldest is not allowed to wear makeup, which she's a teenager, and Kim said that she has a hard time with some of his rules. So I'm going to side with Kanye on this one and say good on you for putting those stipulations. Good. You know what? They're kids. They don't need makeup. They're kids. They don't need bling, you know? So I think he's, in that sense, he makes a bit more, I don't know, I feel like he's on the right track for that, you know? So those kids will never be normal. I mean, they're in the spotlight.
And hopefully he will stay on that track, and that they come to some type of agreement, because I will never forget, North was maybe a little over a year, and Kim and Kanye had gone out in public. They were all, you know, they called the paparazzi. So cameras, lights, camera, action, all on them. They get out of the car. I don't remember what event it was for. They get out of the car and they parade North out. And so Kim has on this see-through lace lingerie.
I remember that.
North has on these a 1 year old. North had on a see-through lace black. I would imagine it was kind of like a leotard for her at a year old. So yeah, Kanye, both of them need to sit down, like you guys said, and think about the children. Think about the children. Let's not exploit these children the way that they have exploited them. All right.
Good talking. So, a few comments online. Ty Dion, a friend of mine, says, I think as long as the mental health issues you are dealing with are not risking putting the children at risk of any type of abuse and or neglect, then custody visitation should be discussed and rightfully so. What else do we see here? Oh, Jacqueline Robinson, thank you for this one. You aren't missing anything. I'm thinking she's talking about me not knowing about Kim and Kanye. See a circus and you will see clowns. I agree, for sure.
Fair
for
enough, sure. Yep.
So, and I mean, you know, it's interesting what the rich and famous are up to these days and what is acceptable and not acceptable. Because if I were to walk down the street with my one-year-old in a see-through leotard, I think I would get looks.
Oh, yeah. You'd get frowned upon, definitely. The least.
Any final
so, Johnny, talk to us. Wrap this up.
Yeah, my follow-up question was, do you guys think that this will remain friendly? Do you guys feel like the custody battle, this whole divorce, it'll remain friendly? Any final thoughts on that?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Okay. Because when it was initially alluded to that there was trouble in paradise, you know, Kanye kind of had a breakdown. He accused Kim of sleeping with rapper Meek Mill. He was talking about, or he exposed some of their personal business about how he wanted Kim to have an abortion. And so I don't, because he was angry with Kim because he thought Kim and her mom were trying to have him committed because he was having episodes. So I mean, I hope that this is the last that we hear of this and that, you know, everything works out. But I wouldn't be surprised. These people live for the drama. These people live for the drama. So something that's easy peasy, you know, that's not headline catching. No one's going to be talking about that, especially since their show this year, you know, Keeping Up with the Kardashians is final season. They're going to need something, you know, to make headlines. People are already sick of Khloe and her nonsense. So, you know, they're going to need something. So I wouldn't be surprised if came, you know, oh my God, I can't even think of the name. What's his name? You guys keep talking. I'll come to it. It'll come to me. It'll come to me. War of the Roses.
George.
Did you guys see War of the Roses? It was about a divorce, a married couple who was getting a divorce. It was Michael Douglas and what was the name of, I can't remember the name of his co-star off the top of my head, but they were fighting literally to the death. Literally to the
death. In a divorce battle?
In a divorce battle, yes.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a dark comedy, but if you think about it, it was sad. It was sad.
Yeah. Divorce is.
All right. Thank you.
Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner.
Kathleen Turner, I couldn't think of her name. Yes, thank you, Rob.
Kathleen,
if you guys haven't watched it, it's a good movie. It's a very good dark comedy, but it gets into how divorces go AWOL and people step outside of themselves and become just straight evil. They become just straight evil. And I can, that's another reason why I'm not married. I could see myself doing that. I could see myself doing that 100%.
I got to watch it. I got to watch it. You make it sound good.
Thank you
for this.
Thank you,
Johnny.
Thank you
for this.
Thank you.
Thanks, Johnny. Now I know Kanye and Kim are divorcing.
Always here to inform, Jose. All right. So our final topic of the evening is going to be about Saturday Night Live. So imagine my surprise when I woke up Sunday, this past Sunday, and Twitter was a buzz. Black Twitter was definitely a buzz. People were, you know, talking very fervently in my newsfeed. And I'm thinking, okay, it's Sunday. You know, they got the Holy Ghost. You know, they feeling their funk, you know, coming from ever. No. They were talking about rapper Kid Cudi and him on Saturday Night Live last Saturday, in which he gave two performances in honor of the late Kurt Cobain, who was one of his idols growing up, someone that he admired extremely.
Yes.
And during performance, one of his performances, He wore a dress to honor Kurt Cobain. Now, it should be, give a little point of reference here. Kurt Cobain was a rock star back in the late 80s, early 90s. Head lead singer, front man of the group Nirvana, as I used to call him, a part of, one of the guys who kicked in the door with the Seattle grunge act back in the early 90s. Unfortunately, Kurt Cobain had a lot of demons. There was a lot of alcohol and drug abuse, but also a lot of mental illness as to depression, suicidal thoughts. And so Kurt Cobain, unfortunately, ended up committing suicide. I believe it was in 1994, if I'm not mistaken, he committed suicide. And so he's become kind of like a cult figure, if you will, not just because of his music, but because of his struggles, with suicide and depression. But he was someone, Neo just had the picture up of him in a dress. Kurt Cobain was also kind of gender fluid. He was someone who had no problems on a skirt, no problems putting on a blouse. I forgot to call it what it is, Robbie, a blouse like Robbie has on. He had no problems putting on a dress. And so the picture that you just saw of Kurt in that whole dress, that's what Kid Cudi was trying to honor. He was paying homage to Kurt Cobain in that performance where he had on a dress. Now, Kid Cudi, in his tribute, he didn't have the t-shirt on underneath the dress. So he just had on the spaghetti strap dress. But it became obvious, if you listen to his commentary after this performance, why he performed in this attire. A lot of people liked it, thought it was really cool. A lot of progressive people liked it, thought it was really cool. But a lot of people were offended, particularly in the Black community, my people, particularly in the Black community, who felt that this was contributing to the feminization of Black males. So my question to the panel is, do you think that this was an attack on Black masculinity? Or do you think this was just performance art? Let's start with our beautiful pink blouse, Robbie.
It was a performance piece. It was a tribute to Kurt Cobain. And during his first performance, he was wearing a Chris Farley t-shirt, who's a former SNL cast member who died of health complications because of a fast lifestyle also. But he had the Chris Farley shirt with the green cardigan, which is very iconic for Kurt Cobain.
Kurt Cobain performed in a similar green cardigan. Right.
Exactly. And the dress that Kid Cudi was wearing is styled from the original, from that dress, the picture that Neo showed on screen. And it's a lovely dress. It's not the first time that a man performs in a skirt or a dress on stage. It's not going to be the last time. People lost their minds when Harry Styles recently did, I think it was Vanity Fair. And I mean,
It was Vogue.
So it's a tribute to another artist. And he's obviously comfortable in his masculinity, wearing an article of clothing that is typically stylized for women doesn't feminize you when you wear it. Honestly, these people need to just check their sensitivities at the door. Kid Cudi is on the pursuit of happiness, baby. He does not give a rat's ass what these people think. So props to Kid Cudi.
One of the reasons why Kurt Cobain and his message and his life has resonated so much with Kid Cudi is because he too has struggled with depression. He's talked about it. He's rapped about it. He too has been suicidal. So it's just a miracle that he's even here with us today. But that's one of the reasons why he wanted to give a tribute to Kurt Cobain. Jose?
I just read Jacqueline Robinson's comment online, and she says, I was pissed because I haven't been shopping for a dress since the pandemic started. I feel you. I saw that dress, and I'm thinking, oh, I wish. But you know what? Of everything going on in the world, we really need to focus on this shit about a man wearing a dress. Okay, like, seriously, this is, he was paying a tribute. Like, who cares what he was wearing? Really? That's, hey, I wear pants. That's like Hillary Clinton being criticized because she wears the pantsuit and not a skirt, you know? What is wrong with people? You know, so does that mean that Prince was in the wrong? Because I know he liked his little high heel boots and no one can take my Prince away, right? David Bowie.
Our Prince. Our Prince.
Right? Plural. Our Prince. You know, David Bowie is a huge fan of David Bowie and androgynous. Tilda Swinton's been criticized and she's a woman. She looks too manly. Who cares? Of all the things going on in the world, this is what we're going to bitch and chew on? Okay. Mm-hmm. Sure. Seriously, that it blows my mind.
That's a Prince song.
You got it. That's perfect. I thought it was Prince.
I feel like when it comes to the people that are attacking Kid Cudi, it's specific. It's people who feel specifically offended, right? It's the people that probably hated Lil Nas X's music video. It's the people that feel personally attacked by, because he's wearing such a feminine attire. I think that it's this. There's a group, like Black American men that are very like pro masculine and stuff like that. So I feel like it offends them, and by nature, it offends some. Of the LGBTQ plus community, because they feel like, oh, he's a cis heterosexual, straight man, and he's wearing this. So I've actually seen, the reason I say that is because I just recently was listening to some vlogs of people like feeling some type of way about Kid Cudi, and they happen to be a part of the LGBTQ plus community. So they're okay with Lil Nas X doing it, but they're not okay with a heterosexual man doing it as tribute. You see, it's just like the lines are like, it's too many titles, too many, yeah. There's, yeah. And it's mainly criticism, like you said, from Black people, but just in different groups. Like I said, the masculine, pro-Black masculine, and then there's the small group of LGBTQ+, and then there's the religious people, so.
But Johnny, when you're saying pro-Black masculinity, I think Mike Winter nailed it with one of his comments. He said, I cannot with Black people holding on to toxic masculinity. So being toxic. Macho, yeah. Being aggressive, that's toxic masculinity. Being masculine is just being comfortable being a man. I'm a man who's very comfortable wearing a blouse at the moment.
Also ask, you know, my Black brothers and sisters out there, is it really, you know, a sign of masculinity to have a bunch of Black men walking around the street with their pants hanging off their ass?
I knew you were gonna say that.
Thank you.
Like, how is that masculine in any shape or form? Right? It's offensive, it's rude, and it's obnoxious. But more to the point of this, so I actually, because I try to keep up with the trends, you know, I'm still old, I'm ancient, I'm a dinosaur, but dinosaur nonetheless. But I try to keep up with the trends for my classes at Howard University. So this was my lesson on Monday with my students. You know, a lot of them are familiar with Kid Cudi and his music and his rap. And so I posed that question to them. They had to write a paragraph about, is this an affront to Black masculinity or is this a sign of performance art? And thankfully, most of them said, get a grip. It's performance art. One of my students said, you know, what people are, you know, failing to recognize in this is that these are artists. These are musicians. The level of expression with an artist on stage, in costume, in performance is completely different than what we do in our regular lives. And this isn't the first time, like another rapper, a white rapper, y'all will be proud of me because I know his name, Post Malone, a couple of years ago, did a very similar tribute to Kurt Cobain in a dress. Black people weren't mad about that. It was a white artist. He's a white rapper. But then a black rapper comes and does it, and oh my God, we're losing our minds. First of all, mind your business. Did you buy that dress? Did that dress come out? No. No. So mind your business. But how is it an affront, especially when he expressed why he wore the particular dress, but it wasn't a tribute to Kurt Cobain. Even if he wanted to wear it because he thought it was the hot shit for that evening and that performance, so be it. Like, it's not killing you. And if you have every right to like it, you have every right to be like, okay, this offends me, then change the channel.
Change. People are going to lose their minds because Kid Cudi also confirmed that he's collaborating on a clothing line with Off-White CEO Virgil Abloh, I believe that's how you say, who designed the dress. So they are going to design a clothing line together. People beware, there may be dresses. And you know what? Right? Who's laughing now?
Lemon into lemonade. Lemon into
exactly.
Lemons into lemonade.
Joe.
That's it.
Joe, I fully expect you to be purchasing my original Kid Cudi.
Only if we can share the dress, you know, that's going in the shopping cart.
I haven't bought any clothing in now over a year. So there is a little jealousy. Of like, oh, wow, he got a fly new dress. I ain't got shit over here.
I'm ready to go shopping.
Except I got a new purse, but that doesn't count. We're talking dresses.
Ooh.
I want to dress.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you all. So that is the end of our round. What are you saying? We got Neo trying to talk to us in the background. We can hear you, Neo. We took some audience.
Maybe you can hear him. We can't hear him. You hear him in your ear only. The producer's ear.
Well, also, you guys did hear all the shit he was talking about you all. Ooh, Rob, I got to tell you.
We're going to talk about that later.
But I like what Neo has to say in the thread.
I was just going to say very quickly, Neo in the comments said he has worn a dress. I think some of my classmates have picked. So if anyone is out there watching and you have a pick, that pick of Neo in a dress, send it to TLS. Send it to your girl, Lizzie.
Please.
Where's Olivia E? We know she can deliver. You know she can.
One of our classmates, quickly before we go to the next segment, one of our classmates from Wilson Senior High School, Saima, says, when did it become everyone's business to determine how a man or a woman should dress? What is right or what is wrong? Everyone needs to be comfortable in their skin. You don't like it? That's fine. But let everyone express themselves. I absolutely agree. 100%. Because you know what? You don't make this money over here. You don't buy these clothes up in my vast closet. So you have no say-so into how I present myself. Unless I'm walking out of the house, you know, half naked or whatever. But you have no say-so as to how I present myself or anyone else at that, for that matter. All right?
Haters are just jealous. They wish they can pull it off.
Haters gonna hate.
Yeah, listen, that dress was that was not a size 12 dress. That was a very small cut dress. The average man would not be able to fit. I probably couldn't fit in that dress right now. Definitely not.
I think they're just afraid of change. I feel like people are just afraid of change, honestly. They're just afraid of change. They're not ready for it.
If you're not comfortable in your own masculinity and you see something like that, then it threatens your masculinity. So the people that are coming out and being really raging against, it's like, well, what are you really projecting from within?
Right there. Yes.
Good point.
Yes.
And no one's saying that you have to wear a dress. Kid Cudi wasn't telling all guys out there to wear a dress. This was his performance. His tribute. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like Joe said, he's building a brand with the designer. So what better commercial to have than to wear the dress and have people lose their minds and talk about
emotion.
It?
Listen, I bet you if in that particular design brand, if he and this designer made some jeans with some floral pockets that hung off the ass, I bet you these same naysayers would buy it. 100%. They buy that
shit. Oh, absolutely. 100%. Oh, for sure.
100%.
For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Nice. Great panel, hot topic evening. So now we are going to get into our game show, which I am proud to say. So we know cheating tonight. No Neo, no cheating.
No cheating. No Neo, no cheating.
Our final round of shenanigans, we're going to be telling on ourselves what we think of each other. So we are going to play a round of who's likely to. So here's the rules of the game for tonight. I'm going to, or Neo in the background is going to put up a question. I'm going to read the question. And as panelists, we are going to shout out who we think is most likely to do the prompt that's in the question. The person who gets the actual panel guess who gets the most votes wins the point. All right. We're going to start off with two rounds to see how we do with two rounds. At the end of the game, the winner gets our parting shots in the evening. All right. I think this is an actual question. I don't think this is a fake question. Okay. Who's most likely to laugh so hard they cry?
Robbie Brock.
Yeah, maybe Rob. Oh, is it Liz?
No, you say who you think. You say who you
think. Oh, I think Rob.
All right, so Rob. Let's see, Rob. Let's see if we can make you cry.
I find everything funny, though. Oh, my God.
Okay, good.
All right, so Rob gets that 1 point. I got to tell you, as recently as yesterday afternoon, I was laughing at something. A meme that my friend sent me online, in tears, I was laughing so hard.
Those are the best laughs,
aren't they? And they make you hurt, but it rejuvenates.
It feels so good.
Yeah. Stop making me laugh. My kidneys hurt.
Yeah,
it's true.
All right, so next one: who's most likely to be the most flexible?
I'm very gonna say flexible. Gianni. Maybe me.
I'm gonna say Gianni.
It was a Gianni.
Oh, Tig O' Minis. I'm moving like I used to, but I can't still drop it. I can still drop it, and I can still do splits. Don't get it.
Okay. Yeah.
Amazing. Nice.
And so I was going with my yoga wife. Hmm. Oh no, I went with my yoga wife on that one.
Oh yeah. No. Yeah, your yoga wife. So.
No. Yoga, a few years versus gymnast. Nah, Johnny's younger too. I'm old.
Who's most likely to own a brothel?
Own a brothel? Jose said.
Sure, I'll go to Joe because she's not taking any shit.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Joe. She seems like she rules with an iron fist. Like, she seems like a good boss.
All right.
It was a joke when I was a kid. It was a joke. It would be like me standing in a corner with a cigarette, with a drink, and my cat going, okay, who's next? You know, that was the joke in my family. So joke's on them. It's not happening. But yeah, I would totally buy it. Absolutely. Make some money.
I'll hear that, right? Madame Jose.
I love Jose here.
All right, it was a three-way tie between Jose, Gianni, and Robbie Rock. Who's most likely to be the most responsible? I'm also going to say Jose.
Lizzie. No, Lizzie.
Oh, I didn't know Liz was a part of the game. I thought you were just hosting it. I was going to say, I don't know, all of you. Other than me. Everybody else.
Rob?
Oh, it, you.
You who?
Oh, you, Liz. That's my answer.
Oh, me. Oh, okay. Yeah. So,
really? I would choose Liz. Yeah. Between Liz and Jose. Yeah.
All right, you guys are so wrong. I'm so irresponsible with money. It's not even funny. Not even funny.
But then I think of you professionally and the level of responsibility that you shoulder
exactly.
in so many ways.
That's where I was going.
So many kids, yeah.
But it takes a lot not to cuss a mofo out, you know, in a classroom. So, okay, so it's a four-way tie now. It's a four-way tie. So who's most likely to post pictures of their food online? Me.
Not me.
Johnny?
I'm not a foodie.
I'm going to go with Lizzie.
I'm an amazing cook.
Go with Liz.
I like to cut my food off. I haven't been cooking recently, so that's why I haven't posted any pictures, but me.
See, it's the morning would yous, because you're posting gross food, and I'm like, nah, that's not her food. It's like, yep, no. Who posts pictures of their food? Young people on social media. Johnny must post pictures of their food.
The morning witches, I'm trying to wake people up. Wake people up. All right, so it's 2 points, Lizzie, 1 point, everyone else. Okay, who's most likely to have their last words being watch this? I'm not really a boarder.
Maybe Rob, yeah.
Hey guys, watch this. Here, hold my beer.
Yeah, that's definitely Rob then. Like you said it before a lot.
Watch this. That would be me. Watch this. So it's tied. 2 for Lizzie, 2 for Robbie Wack. Is this our right now I need you in my ear, Neo. Is this our last question? I don't know. We can go on.
Testing on.
Okay, so this is gonna be our second to last question. Kind of tease you guys a little bit. Okay. Who's most likely to smoke weed? I'm gonna say Gianni because she's down there in Hotlanta. She's young. She's still in college.
Oh, Rob too. Oh yeah, you're in Canada. It's legal over there.
I'm in Canada. It's legal, and I've had my carry card for a few years. So
okay, then Rob.
Who's most likely to after the show?
Who's most likely to during the show when we
big cloud?
Very quickly.
It's like the Scooby-Doo van.
All right, so
that's so funny.
Then Rob B wins the segment. If I don't win this point, Rob B wins the segment. All right. So last question: who's most likely to bribe someone?
I'm not getting in that kind of trouble. I'm pointing at Johnny, man.
I mean, what is a bribe? Is a bribe saying you can't do something because I have something over your head?
No, that's blackmail or extortion.
I mean, still not good. Okay. Still not. You know what? I would say it's Lizzie.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I don't know. I feel like it could be Lizzie because she's good with words. Like you would be good at it, but not saying that morally you would do it. But
throw in a Chanel purse, it's done.
Let me just say, I bribed a friend once when I first moved to New York City. I bribed my friend once, a guy friend, to get a credit card in his name and give it to me. Unlimited purchases.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You've been Are you still friends?
Good question.
We're still friends. And so this is a tiebreaker between myself and Rob B. All right?
Oh, come on. That's next question. Next question.
What does Rob B. Not me.
What does it say?
Rob B. How many questions do you have, Rob B?
At the most, 4.
Where are they?
All north of the border. All north.
What does it say? Who's most likely to what?
Have the most piercings.
Have the
Oh, piercing.
How many piercings do you have?
I have two, three.
Jose, hands down.
Oh, Jose.
Hell yeah.
Oh. Okay.
I choose Jose, too. He has 10 piercings.
Well, no, so Jose's not a part of this. It's either me or Rob B.
Nope. This
tiebreaker.
How many do you have, Lizzie?
I just have only, I only have my ears pierced. And I was going to say, Rob.
Yeah. Yeah, I choose Rob. So, I feel like he would have
Rob. Robert, I'll take it. Anymore?
It's, you know, every now and then I think about it.
Next, nipples.
Oh, no.
Are you staying south? Are you staying north? Or are you going to go down south? You
gonna
go
down south? No. Prince Albert, no, that's never been even, no, no.
Out, no. Gross.
Right?
All right.
Ew.
Rob B is our winner. Let's go to our shout outs very quickly. Who are you shouting out, folks?
Shout out to the family of Dante. Shout out to Dante Wright's family. And shout out to the people that feel in any way connected to this tragic loss. And we're going to get there slowly but surely. We'll get there as a community.
All right.
Awesome.
Jose?
Awesome. Shout out to my lovely friend, Carla McKinney, for tuning in tonight. It's been way too long, my friend. And also to Kid Cudi for being authentic, for being his true self.
Very good, very good. I saw your friend Carla ask some questions in the thread, and I wanted to ask her if she lived here or lived in Canada, because she asked, how do we know all this stuff about the Kardashians? And I'm like, girl, we are bombarded with this nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
So here. She does live in the States now. So yeah, we were work co-workers, and now she does live in the States. But you know what? My friend Carla has no time for like shenanigans and shit like Kanye and Nat Kim.
Good. Carla, yeah. Stay. Keep the door closed. Don't pay attention to it. Don't turn it on. You are better off for it. Trust me.
You don't need it. Rock.
A very special shout out and to the staff and faculty and students of Laurentian University. For those of you who don't know, the university in my city has undergone some very difficult financial times in the last decade. And unfortunately, it has resulted in a massive gutting of programs, and a lot of people have lost their jobs as a result, a lot of people that I know. So really, my heartfelt sympathies to you. I hope that things work out.
It's gonna go to our very own Neo Nick. Again, hopefully, Neo, you
Yay,
are
Neo.
Doing fine. Coming out of the COVID. Hopefully, we held it down for you in your absence as we move forward, because summertime is coming. You know, folks are gonna be going on vacation or whatever. So hopefully we did you good. Hopefully we did you good, did you well this week. Yeah. All right. So that concludes our Hump Day segment for this week of True Classic. We'll see you soon. Thank you to all of our guests. Actually, all of our panel, because we are our own guests tonight. So thank you to the panel. Thank you to keeping things good behind the scenes. Thank you for everyone who tuned in. Make sure you tune in to PLS Unscripted this Friday, 6:30. And then make sure you tune in to PLS at the Movies this coming Sunday. Micah from the Nerdpocalypse and Black Black Cinema Podcast join us, and we'll be breaking down two movies, Concrete Cowboy and what's the name of the other movie?
A Promising
Young One.
Yes.
That just kind of gives you an indication of how I feel about that movie that I couldn't even remember the name. Boom! We'll see you on Sunday!
Props to Liz. Great job.
Props to Liz.
Great job, Liz. Woo-hoo.
Thank you, Lizzie.
Oh, Rob.
Props to Rob B. Pretty in pink. Pretty in pink, Rob B.